turn, please, in your New King James Bibles to Psalm 66. That is our meditation for today. Psalm 66, we'll read responsively as we usually do.
Psalm 66, written to the chief musician, a song, a psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth.
Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are Your works! Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You.
All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to You.
Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men.
He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in Him.
He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah.
Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard.
Who keeps our soul among the living, and does not allow our feet to be moved.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined.
You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs.
You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment.
I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows.
Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals. With the sweet aroma of rams, I will offer bulls with goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul.
I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.
But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me.
Amen. Okay, Psalm 66. I hope you noticed today and last week when you looked at Psalm 65 in the title there, the superscription. It's written to the chief musician, and it is a song and a psalm. We have here one of the psalms that are called two different things. It's a song, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's a psalm. So this is, as we can see, what Paul was talking about in the New Testament. And I believe later soon we'll see also the third one of the trio. But this is what we are commanded to sing in the congregation. This is what we're commanded to sing to God. Now it starts with a call to worship, pretty much. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. We are called here to shout to God. But I want you to see, and I'll expand on this in a few moments, that the ones who are called to shout out to God were not the people of the land of Judah. The people who were called to shout out to God were not the people of the land of Israel. But here in this pre-Christian song that was written for the Jews, we have, and I'm making little quote marks with my hands for people who can't see me, we see that all the earth was called to worship God. Now, we think of the gospel going forth to the nations after Jesus came, when what had once been restricted to Israel went out to the rest of the nations. When the people who had never been called or were not considered responsible to be called were then open to the gospel, but before they hadn't been. But something that people forget, and as covenanters and people who believe in covenant theology and family, we should remember, all the people of God, or no, let me back up, all the people on earth are descended from covenant children. There is no family on earth that has never come from someone who has never heard the gospel. There is no one on earth that's descended from someone that was never part of a covenant family. So when we think of the covenant expanding to the nations, we're really missing a point. And that's that the covenant that already was standing for all men and women is being reopened, and they're being invited to come back into the covenant that they belong to. Now here I am taking a fair bit of time just to deal with the first line here. But all the earth should be making a joyful shout to God, because all the earth are descendants of Adam, are descendants of Noah, and so have seen the gospel, and now they're invited back. In this psalm, since I've already gone there, I might as well finish, we can see David singing out, or whoever wrote this, and talking about God's work in his life, but it's not sufficient. It's not a sufficient explanation of this psalm. And we'll see as we go, there are too many things that are universal, too many things that are worldwide, and things that hadn't happened in David's day to see. So we can see that this psalm speaks of Jesus. Now, the psalmist cries, "Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah." Now, if the Selah here does indeed mean stop and consider, let's see what this is saying. Again, the people of God in those days, the remnant of the covenant in those days, sang in their worship at the time when the gospel would go to the rest of the world, when all of their cousins would come back to the covenant. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Now, we've seen that grow from their day certainly to now, but even in our lifetime. It's a common cry in the church today to say, look how the gospel is receded and how things are getting bad. That's only because we're looking at our own area. If we look at Africa and Asia, we can see, and we should see, that the gospel is indeed going out to the world. Now in verse 5, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. Now note the tenses here. When he talks about the sea turning into dry land, so the people went through the river on foot, the image is obviously that of the people of God fleeing Egypt. But then he turns right around and says, there we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. We see in the psalm that the picture of the Israelites fleeing Egypt is just used as a type, which is what it is. It's a type of the covenant people of God being protected by God, being able to flee evil and to come into their own land. And that's turned into a current rejoicing and praise by the psalmist. And the psalmist does, that God rules by his power and observes the nations. Again, he's God of all the earth. Now the next section, and this one ended, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. He's looking at that time where the people of God were saved and the rebellious ones were put down, looking to the time the psalm was written, but more importantly, looking to the fulfillment of history. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you peoples. Now the term, the view has changed. Now the psalmist is crying out to you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living, and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us, you brought us into the net, you laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I want us to look at this in a poetic way and pay attention to the imagery that we're looking at. All of us, the people of God, individually and as a church, we should be able to see this history for us. We are to bless God and to praise Him because He keeps our soul among the living no matter what has happened. Now, our church, particularly the Scottish Reformed Presbyterian churches, had a history of this being tested, tried, men riding over our heads, laying affliction upon our backs. But can't all true churches really say that in their history? Because the persecutions of men upon the people of God has always been the case. Sometimes it's less than others, certainly, but we can see that God has preserved His people. We can see that the church has been refined. We can see that the people have been preserved. But more to the point, we went through fire and through water, but You brought us out to a rich fulfillment. On an individual basis, we lived the time of our own sin. And then as we came to repentance, I don't know about all of us, but many of us, especially the adult converts, have gone through a time of refinement, of testing, when we had to make sure of our confession and our profession. The line here, if we look at the imagery of it, is very rich. We went through fire and through water, but You brought us out to a rich fulfillment. And we should see baptism in that line, the baptism of fire and of water. The Spirit and cleansing coming from the Holy Spirit. So that we went through fire and water individually, and God has brought us out to a rich fulfillment. Now the psalmist, writing this in the Old Testament context, said, I will go into your house with burnt offerings, I will pay my vows which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer You burnt sacrifices of fat animals, sweet aroma of rams, I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. Now, there are other blatantly messianic psalms that use these exact words. I will pay You my vows which my lips have uttered. I will go into Your house with burnt offerings. I will offer You burnt sacrifices of fat animals. What this section here is saying, not that David went and he was going to go do these sacrifices because God preserved him, the king of Israel. But look at the imagery earlier. This is speaking again of Jesus coming. If I could just cast yourself at this time to the pre-incarnation. Jesus is getting ready to come to earth and purchase our salvation. And think of this psalm. Of the church having the Israel going through the times of trouble and being held up. Of all the troubles it's gone through in the time of Judges, the time of Kings, the Babylonian exile, under the Greeks during the intertestamental period. But yet, God has preserved Himself a remnant. And now Jesus prepares Himself to go to the temple, not to offer animals, but to offer that which the animals pointed to Himself. That He would offer the truly acceptable sacrifice for our sins. That we would be saved through Him. And I seriously believe that's what this psalm is pointing to. The time when the nation had been preserved, and finally the fulfillment of all the promises was coming. And Jesus is saying, I will come and I will pay the vows that I have made, and pay for sin. Selah. And we stop. And then in verse 16, the just complete change. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Now the next two verses, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Salvation has been purchased. Because Jesus was without iniquity. He had no sin. And He came for us to bear our sins upon the altar of God. And finally, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. The mercy upon Jesus was our salvation. That what He suffered to secure would be bought, would happen, would be fulfilled. The Father's mercy upon the Son is His people on earth and in heaven, and that's us. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. And as Jesus' brothers and sisters, He's called our older brother, as sons of men who are now sons of God, the psalm is ours as well. Not in our own blood, not in our own righteousness, but through Jesus. And as we sing this, let us sing thanks for the covenant of grace, but that God preserved His people, even though they did not deserve it, did not destroy Israel, and then through Israel brought our Savior and our salvation. And we'll sing Psalm 66, version B.